Rock on. Amen. Let the people praise thee. If you can kneel, we'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with this Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us all safe all throughout the week and all throughout the last 3 months since our last testimony service. And thank you for all the blessings that we have witnessed. Please bridle the tongues that we'll share today. Let it be that you and you alone are being glorified. And thank you so much for answered prayer and blessing us where we need to be blessed. We again lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are sick or lost. And we thank you, Father, for the evidence of your love and your hand in our lives. And we'd like to make special mention for Brother Ace and his family that have a sickness running out throughout the house, as well as our home here. And Brother Henry, who threw his back out recently. Thank you for your healing hand upon all of us. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen. Okay, I want to start off here with the testimony from that anonymous man. He wants to remain anonymous, that I talked to on the phone a few days ago. Sometime, I think it was Monday or Tuesday this week. And this is what he said. He says, and this will take about 5 minutes. Like I was saying earlier, this is a little bit long. And, but it's not that bad. Hold on, let me get the fan on here. Okay. All right, it's getting warm in here, so get the fan going. And this is what it was emailed to me. It says, in my younger times, I was the youngest of three. Being so much younger than my siblings, I was frequently utilized as a stress-relieving punching bag, or otherwise used as a striking pad. Although these situations may have had the effect of relieving their stress, I was left without an outlet. As such, I grew up knowing little more than violence as an effective problem solver. And this is why I like this, because this reminds me a lot of what I went through when I was young. No, I was the oldest man in the house, the young man in the house, but when I went to school, I was beat up, I was bullied, just like anybody else, quite a bit, though. And until, of course, I grew older and taller. But he goes on to say that growing up like this had its drawbacks. In my younger teen years, I was given an ultimatum to go to military school, jail, or live with relatives half a world away. I chose military school, but was sent to live with relatives, I guess. And he says, I wound up staying there for 15 months in one of the world's most inhospitable cities. Although my rage quickly grew during this time, I did find religion. I attended a Catholic high school there, and this had become my only comfort. As I already stated, I stayed there for 15 months. Upon returning to the States, I found within myself a feeling I did not have before. Appreciation. I fully felt as if all my blessings and opportunities in life had not come from our Lord, but from my country. So I joined the Army at 17 years old. I used to take pride in the fact that I was a pre-9/11 enlistee. However, that was before I was found. I forgot to mention that in my past life I was a complete introvert. Although violent, I was extremely quiet. There was no change in that part of me in the Army. I ended up participating in an invasion of Iraq and served a total of 13 months on the ground as an infantryman following the invasion. In this time, I had but one friend, and we were injured together, and upon returning home, we agreed to seek treatment in a VA hospital because we knew we were messed up. A few months later, I received a call that he had shot himself. Had I not had my current wife by my side at that time, I know for a fact that I would have joined him. His death was realized at the tail end of finding out that my fiancé throughout the war was pregnant with someone else's baby and other such tragedies. Please note that that was not my current wife, he goes on to say. So going on, he says, time goes on, and eventually I have a daughter whom I believed was being taught proper faith by me. Everything seemed to be going downhill, however. It seemed as if nothing was going right. Through my injuries came a need for entertainment. YouTube became a mainstay for me. I have a very unique subscription list. Not one of my subscriptions included a religious channel, though. Still, one day there was a video which included some of Nicholas's material in it. I guess this is what he was going to say in the room, if he made it. He doesn't have internet or anything like that. Well, he has it, but it's like dial-up real, whatever, slow. And he says, today I can thank the Lord, our Lord, for saving me, for blessing me to minister, for making monumental changes in who I am. The greatest beauty I have borne witness to was the completeness of my own personal makeover from a person obsessed with pornography who believed with 100% certainty that the horrible images in my head would be permanent to a person who was the only Lord, who has the only Lord in his, has only the Lord in his mind. And this is, a lot of us can attest to this, because when he says the horrible images in his mind, he thought they were going to be permanent. He's talking, because we were on the phone for an hour or so, and he was telling me about, killing other people. And those, this is one of the reasons, that's what they call post-traumatic stress or whatever, because it's not natural for man to kill his fellow man. And this really stresses out some people. You see someone die because you killed them. Do a flip-flop. What if he killed you? And if you have no Christ in your life, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're lying there dying, scared out of your wits. And so he was looking at people die that he caused to die, and it stuck in his mind, and he thought that was permanent. But Christ took it all away. And then he says, from a trained, competent killer, from a soldier to a servant of peace, I thank him daily for his forgiveness and his salvation. Without him, I was doomed. With him, I find myself smiling more in this time than I have in my life until this point. Praise Christ for his love. Glory to Christ for his work is good. Praise and glory to God for seeing this wretch and never leaving me for one instant and bringing me to his arms. Amen. And I echo amen on that. Because most of us, well, I don't know if most of us, I know, because I had a pretty intense life before I met Christ. I mean, I didn't kill anybody. I mean, I've seen people die, but I've never killed them. And no, I wasn't present during murders. There's just things you see. And for the Lord to change a person like that, like, again, that's still the greatest miracle I've ever witnessed in my life. And then, let me see, I got another one here. I just got a PM. Let's see here. It says, from Brother John in the room here, John F., he says, hi, Brother Nick. John and I want to share what God blessed us with, that God blessed us with many things this past week. We were able to get our apartment in California and to move in before Sabbath. We were also able to negotiate the pricing of our car, and so many more blessings that we you can't fit into the letter, Pat and John. God bless you all. Amen. Amen and amen. It's amazing how he gets that done like that sometimes. All right, hold on a second there. Brother Kevin's got something he's going to share, but let me get some of these PMs out of the way first so I can at least see the text chat. And says, I forgot it was Testimony Sabbath, but I am so glad because I have been wanting to praise the Lord for this. His blessings, and this is from Sister Turia. She says, his blessings have been wonderful and faithful. Up until recently, I haven't really had a home due to so much travel work, and finally, with much prayer, the Lord has led me back to the Midwest and have a job with all Sabbath days off. And now I have found a country home just 50 miles away from my job, straight shot down highway on 2 acres. I had been praying for this a long time, and he knew it. Amen. 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 Midwest, though, I thought you were up on the other side of the country. Yeah. Yeah, and Danny, nowhere near the Midwest. But maybe she meant Northwest. Okay, and then Brother Stephen says, I praise, he says, after 10, now check this out, because we have been praying with Brother Stephen on his wife and all this other stuff with the cancer. And he goes, after 10 months, my wife has been declared cancer-free. Amen. And then Brother Alex says, praise the Lord, I only have 1 year of high school left. Amen. Talk about being on the front lines. Scary place to be, but it's an opportunity to share your faith at the same time. But it gives you know, it's a learning experience in many ways. So I still have a few, well, a couple of more, but I'm sure I'll get more PMs too. But Brother Kevin has something he'd like to share. But hold on, let me get the audio set up to where it'll be recorded. So, okay, let me turn off my mic.
My blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me? Okay, good. Forgive me if I go a little long, but this requires a lot of detail, a lot of background. As some of you may know, or you can just look at my picture, it's changed. And if you're wondering who that lady is, it's Sister Nicole. The reason why we have a picture together is because we got married. We got married on May 27th. And this whole thing has been a wonderful praise. And to start out, we met through right here, POGM chat room. And we knew very early on that we were going to get married. But with that saying, we also knew that Satan was trying to prevent us from ever marrying. And so we met in December. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because this was a trial and a blessing, too, in the way in which we got married. And we decided to meet around May is when it finally came down to it. And she lives in New York, and I live in Oklahoma. I won't say the town. And so, basically, long story short, how we met was that she was on her way down here to visit me. And we had all this planned out according to gospel, you know, gospel accordance and stuff like that. No behind closed doors, anything like that. And on her way down here, she wound up in Indianapolis, and while in Indianapolis, she got her phone stolen from her. Five men approached her. It was a scheme. It was a planned event, and she was actually on the phone with me, and she got her phone stolen, and she didn't know how to get to where I was. She was basically stranded in Indianapolis. She had very little to no money, and she was pretty much stranded. And I praise the Lord. I got the call. I think it was around 5 or 5:30 my time, and the Holy Spirit told me to just go and get her. And I praise the Holy Spirit that I was on the road for 10 hours straight, all the way up through Missouri, Illinois, and halfway through Indiana. And I got to Indianapolis around 3:30 in the morning. Yeah. Met my fiance in an IHOP restaurant because she had nowhere else to go, and And we praise the Lord that there were people there to help her because she didn't have anywhere to go. She unfortunately didn't have, she was kind of stranded. And so we met up at 3:30 in the morning. I picked her up. We went to a hotel. We got separate hotel rooms, of course. And if any of you are wondering, you know, the gospel accordance to that, I'd ask Brother Nick. But we got separate hotel rooms because we were not married at that time. It was around 8 or 9 in the morning. I called the local courthouse, and apparently in the county that we were in, it's much easier to get married there than other counties. And so I called my fiance at the time in separate hotel rooms. I called her up and said, "Do you want to get married?" And she was kind of groggy, and she goes, "Yeah." And so we got up tired after 3 hours of sleep because we've been through so many trials and out on the road, and we got married around noon in a courthouse, and we've been happy ever since. And we've been married since May 27th, and we cannot tell you how happy we are. And it was a blessing, and it's been such Satan did not want us to meet. I can't tell you all how Satan did not want us to get married. We are both of the faith. We are both striving to the best of our ability. I have my flaws she helps me with, and she has hers that I try to help her with. But we help each other. And I strongly recommend for any of you that are single and being tempted to marry, you have to marry a believer. There is no way about it, because if you do marry an unbeliever, you are risking your salvation, and I will say that up front. And so the Holy Spirit's urging me to tell you this now. Anybody who is looking, please make sure that they are of the faith. If they leave the faith after you're married, that is something that you cannot help. But please, be on guard for your own soul and just marry a brother or sister in Christ. If you are being tempted in any way, please pray about it. Go to God in prayer. Because I can tell you one thing. It has been a blessing to marry not only the woman that I love, but marry someone that is part of the church, part of the faith. And so, sorry if this took so long, but there's many more praises to be shared. But I just wanted to tell you all that, because we've been waiting until testimony service to share this, and it's been quite a blessing. So, God bless you all. Thank you, and Sabbath blessings.
All right, can everybody hear me okay? This is Scott. Yes? Okay. Well, hey, first of all, real quick, Kevin, that was an awesome praise. I'm very happy for both you and Nicole. And as far as going long, if you thought it was long, there was nothing to apologize about that at all. That was an awesome praise. So thank you for sharing that. I just got a quick one to share that I had actually said this, I think a week ago last Friday in the room, but during Testimony Sabbath, a lot more people are here, so if for those of you who already heard this, sorry, just trying to make it quick, but one of the things, nobody likes to admit that they had something that was really a sin that was really snaring them, but I smoked for 30 years. I'm 44 years old. I started when I was 14. And I just couldn't let it go. And a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Craig sent me an email, and he asked me, you know, how's the smoking going? Are you even trying to quit anymore? And I confessed. I said, you know, it's been a long time since I really tried to quit, because last time I did, I made it like 4 days and just freaked out afterwards. And I don't know, I just hadn't really tried since then. And Craig reminded me, he said, you know, if there's some, you know, your body, it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't defile it intentionally. And if you're doing something that you know is a sin, and you're not even trying to overcome it anymore, then you're running the risk of grieving the Holy Spirit away. I'm not going to make an excuse. For some whatever reason in the past, I just did not believe God was making it easy enough for me to quit. And shame on me for that. But after Pastor Craig said what he said about, you know, grieving away the Holy Spirit, I decided, you know, I don't want to do that. And I don't believe the Holy Spirit would want me to grieve him away. So as soon as he said that, I finally believed, you know what? This time God's going to make it really easy. And he did. And it's been 2 weeks. And I didn't have to replace it with anything. I didn't have to come up with a new habit. I didn't do anything different, and I haven't been freaking out or having nicotine fits or anything like that. It just, it was gone. So I just want to praise God for finally freeing me from that little, bit of bondage, and, just to remind people, maybe it was easier said than done, but you know, all those years when I didn't believe, I failed miserably. When I finally believed, okay, this time he's going to do it. He's going to make it easy. It happened. And again, I just want to share that with everybody. And I want to just hopefully for anybody else that's having this issue, hope it helps you out and inspires you to go for it. With that, I'll let get back to whoever wants to take the mic. God bless everybody, and just have a blessed Sabbath.
So, can everybody hear me? Yes, okay. So, I would like to share, 2 months ago, I was approached by my coworker if I am interested in going to Orlando, Florida. She can't drive, so she asked me to help her husband drive from San Antonio to Orlando, back to San Antonio. So I have observed that he played bad worldly music while driving. So I was worried that he might play worldly music when I'm the one driving. So when I was sitting there, I talked to God and I said, Lord, I can't drive with worldly music. I just can't. So I said, Lord, please make a way for me. So when we reached Alabama, it was my turn to drive. The moment that I sat behind the wheel, the truck's stereo won't work. I mean, this is a new Nissan Armada. It's fully loaded. The stereo won't work. For the first time, they said. And so my heart jumped. I was so happy. I praised God. I said, Lord, thank you. It won't work, but the truck will drive. So I told them, don't worry guys, it's still driving, it's just we don't have music. And so I was so happy, I was the happiest person in the truck. My coworker called Nissan and she was very upset. I'm like, please don't be upset, everything works for good. So I was driving and sharing the truth to my coworker. We talk about the Sabbath, tithing, speaking of tongues, because she's a professed Protestant. But sadly, she was against it, and she listened to her pastor. She just said, oh, my pastor says this and that. And I said, well, it doesn't matter what your pastor says, it's what the Bible says. Are we supposed to follow the pastor more than God? So she was not happy, but I was happy. I mean, she got the truth. And so we arrived in Orlando, Florida. Sister Barbara was there waiting for me in the hotel. And then the next day, it was Sabbath, I asked Sister Barbara, Sister, this new world is far away and we can't take a taxi because we can't do business on the Sabbath. So what are we going to do? So we were thinking, we prayed, like, well, we can't do anything. We just have to hand out cards around here, I guess. So I called the hotel and they said that there is a bus, a free bus to the Disney World. And so I asked him, when is it going to leave? And he said, oh, right now, like literally right now, like 2 minutes. Like, okay, then we'll catch up. So me and Sister Barbara were running, and then I'm glad nobody got injured. So we got some water and bananas for our food. And then so we arrived in Disney World. We handed out a lot of cards in a parking lot. There's a lot of cards. I was so happy, and they're from different states. I also saw a car from Canada, so I made sure that car got one. And so all day we only have water and bananas. But we got really exhausted, but we thank God that nobody passed out. and we were able to get back to the hotel safe and no securities messing with us. So that was really a praise, and I thank God that I got to see Sister Barbara, and we were able to do the work together. So I praise God.
Blessings, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Okay, I'm gonna make this real quick. Salad blessings to all of you, and I would like to share the mission trip that I just recently did with a dear brother here, Brother Daniel. It was such a blessing to meet Brother Daniel for the first time, knowing him for 4 years, and I just met him last week of May. And flying to Canada for the first time, I got stopped at the airport. I got interrogated at the airport like I'm a criminal. So, what are you gonna be doing here? Who are you visiting here? Why are you here? What are you doing here? How long are you gonna be here? And all that, you know, all those type of questions. Like, they ask me all that. I'm like, okay. So literally, it lasted for almost 30 minutes. And Brother Daniel was waiting outside for me. And then the officer went out and saw Brother Daniel standing out there. Like, and then the officer interrogated him and asked him, do you know this man? You know, my name. And then Brother Daniel said, how do you know him from the church? And then he let me go. So I praise the Lord that, it may have took a little longer for me to stay in there, but praise the Lord, I went out safely, and the weather was so nice, and we started doing the work. And to make the story short, we hit some cathedrals there, and we hit also SDA church, and I was hesitant to do it at the SDA church, but I had the discernment. The Holy Spirit told me go. As I go, Brother Daniel had the same discernment. Okay, let's do it quick and get out of here. So. And it was really a blessing because we finished everything. We did some communities, and we finished we had some newsletters, some big cards. We have all types of cards, and we finished it. So I just want to praise the Lord, and I just want to encourage the brethren, if you have a chance to do the work, please do, because Satan wants us dead. So we have to fight. Whether we fight or not, whether we do the work or not, He wants us dead. So we are gonna fight we're not gonna sleep. We're gonna fight against Satan in the name of Jesus. So before the time of trouble, let's get ready. This is a good practice for us. Let's glorify our God in heaven. God bless every one of you, and God bless.
God bless everyone. I just want to share this with you real quick. After sharing my first praise, this actually, you know, coincides with it. I was trying to lose a little bit of weight because I knew I was going to end up meeting my wife in person, and I was a little bit overweight. And so I praised the Lord as of 2 weeks or a couple weeks ago. I've lost 40 pounds through Christ. It's taken me over three years to do it. But I just want to praise God because He's helped me so much in not only reforming my diet, getting it much healthier, cutting out meat, you know, trying to be vegan as much as I can, but at times, you know, eating stuff that uses milk and eggs in it, you know, I try to do my best, but I praise the Lord that I haven't had any meat for a while. I am pretty much vegetarian, but I just want to praise God that He has been patient with me, especially with my diet. No excuse is given, but like Brother Scott said, sometimes, you know, we have to, we can confess things that we're not really proud about. My diet is still very poor, and a Lord has been merciful. I want to thank God for his mercy in regards to the diet, because I don't know, it's been very tough for me, but the Lord is patient and merciful. So anyways, God bless and thank you all.
But I'll try to not to make it too long. But it's an older testimony, and I like to share it with people because of how I vividly saw the Lord's hand moving. And this is my first account of actually seeing it, and my whole family seeing it in person. I just moved my family in 2011. We had moved here from Virginia to South Carolina, so my job had moved me down here. And I was living in this house type business type deal, and the job pretty much didn't want us there, you know. So my boss came and told me, you know, within a few months of us being there, that he pretty much fired because of, you know, my kids and everything. He didn't like the setup. So we had moved from that house into another house out the island. It was quite expensive, but we had to make the move. And I didn't have a job at that time, so I went and, you know, started unemployment. I went and started it. And I had the unemployment, but it was kind of catching up with the bills and all. And at the same time, I was looking for work. I was trying to find work, and I couldn't find pretty much anything. I went to the unemployment office, and they had, you know, something, but it really wasn't, you know, up my alley. So my wife suggested that I would go down to the Salvation Army, and I went down there, and I got a little job because it was right around the holidays. So I was becoming a bell ringer. So I was doing, you know, ringing bells, and it was kind of embarrassing, but I had to do it because I had to get the money, you know. It was getting kind of close to where the rent office was sending, eviction notices on our door. We literally had to get out, pretty soon. So, you know, I carried my daughter with me a couple of nights, and, you know, she was my cheer-upper person. She would be out to the people, and you know, Dad is looking around just ringing the bells, and she's looking like, you know, she's being all happy, and she's got a real good confidence about her, and people are coming around blessing her. I'm looking like, man, you know, what's going on? It was real cold one night, and somebody came up to her just random and gave her some mittens and a hat, and another lady came up to her and just gave her a blanket. I'm like, goodness gracious, you know. So she's looking at me like, Dad, cheer up. And I'm just like, all right, whatever, just ringing the bell. So came back middle of December, the eviction notice finally came up, you know, and I didn't even have the money to actually even pay. I still had a lot of applications, but I wouldn't get anything, you know, getting any call back. Well, one staffing agency had called me and told me they had a job at this place called Parker's. And I knew it was going to be like a temporary setup. And I knew the job was going to last probably 3-4 months top, and it was going to lay me off. But you're like, you know what? It's a job, so I got to go do it. So I went and told the Salvation Army, no way, I got a full-time job. I'm going to go and, you know, I'm going to quit this, and I'm going to go ahead and, you know, go to Parker's. So they were like, you know what? We'll go ahead and work this last week, and we are going to, you know, let you go. So I worked that last week ringing the bells, and it's still another night, you know, plus, you know, the holidays were coming up, and you know how people get into that, you know, that Christmas spirit or whatever, you know, you got to have this good confidence about you. So I was sitting out there ringing the bells, and this random lady, she just came up to me, and she looked at me, and she's like, son, what's the matter? And you're like, you know, I'm just, you know, like, whatever. And this is Walmart parking lot, and she just lays her hands on my head and just starts praying for me. In the middle of everybody, I mean, just people just walking in and out, and she just starts praying. And I felt like a change about me right then. I mean, it was good change, but I knew that something was going to happen. I just didn't know when. So a few days later, I worked that week, and I went down to Parker's to start the very first day of working there. And I'm sitting in the parking lot, and the staffing agency lady calls me. She's like, you know what, are you getting ready to go in? Because supervisor's waiting on you. And I'm like, no, I'm there. I'm getting ready to go in now. And I'm sitting in the car, I'm like, Lord, I don't know. You know, I know this job is not going to last. This is crazy. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to work a few months, and they're going to go right back to square one all over again. So I lied. I told the lady, you know what? I got a full-time job somewhere else. So I'm not even going to go in there. So she was like, congratulations, you know, I'm happy for you. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, what did I just do? You know, I got a job, and I got to go home and explain to the wife. You got eviction notices on the door and everything. Like, what am I going to do? That was stupid. So I sat in the car, and I'm just sitting over there, my hand on the steering wheel, just looking all down. Like, man, this is crazy. What am I going to do? And I sat there for like 5 minutes. And the phone rang. I'm like, well, who is this? And the phone rang, and it was this one guy who was checking out my resume at the unemployment office. And he said, you know, we like you, and we want you to come down and interview at the base here. And the job is a pretty high-paying job, and we like your skills and your qualifications, and we think you'll be a good fit. And mind you, I've never, ever, you know, had a person to call me and ask me that they wanted me. All the jobs I ever applied for was me going and filling applications, but this was someone actually calling me. And ever since then, I've been here with this job, and I only had to go like 2 mile drive down the street. I mean, it's fantastic. I thank the Lord for it. I mean, it's, from what I made from my previous job, this is like time and a half. I mean, it's great. My kids love it, and I thank him for it. But just the way everything happened, it was just beautiful, and I just can't thank him enough. And I just wanted to share that testimony with everyone. I mean, even at your down and lowest moments, I mean, God is there. He's always there. You know, there's a proverb that says, before honor is humility. And you have to be humble. You have to be humble. I mean, if you're going to exalt yourself, he's going to bring you down. But once he brings you down, he has his ways of bringing you up. So I just wanted to say that, and that was a blessing to everyone. Thank you.
All right, amen. Amen, brother. All right, can you hear me okay? Yeah, all right, wonderful. All right, so I have a praise here, and I have been slacking as a father, or as a dad, he says. So I am so happy that God used Ellen G. White to show me my errors. And he ends it, and he says, praise his holy name. So, you know, I just want to add to what he just said here. I want to praise God that your eyes are just open. You know, your eyes are open to truth, and your heart is at a place of conviction, you know, knowing that we have to make future steps in our life, you know, to please God. So praise God for that, brother. Praise God. All right, again, that was from Brother Hank. All right, I want to, I guess it was a good time to add my praise here. Just praising God for his goodness. You know, I'm praising God for all the testimonies that are here today. I think us as a body of Christ, you know, we learn from one another. We learn how God works in each other's lives, and we learn patience. You know, you listen to Brother Andre just now, Brother Scott, some of the few I was just listening to, Kevin. And, you know, patience is something that I see that we are to wait patiently upon the Lord. And his goodness is given to us, you know, it truly is. But there are times when we have to go through certain events, certain tasks, certain downfalls, in order for us to know that we have to lean upon God. You know, so I myself, you know, I'm praising God for his goodness. You know, I have so much to be thankful for. I have a house, you know, I have a roof over my head. I have a wonderful family, you know, from my parents to my wife and my children. And sometimes I think we forget to give God all the praise and glory for all that we have. You know, life is not, we're not promised a bed of roses, but through Christ, you know, we're promised life and life everlasting. And that's something I've grown to understand, you know, as time has progressed in my life. I've learned through my prayers and through the greatest gift that we can ever bestow upon our eyes and through the word and what has been given to us, the greatest gift is Christ. So, you know, I thank my Heavenly Father for my Lord and my Savior. And, you know, we give him thanks for so much. But the ultimate thanks is that gift of grace. So, you know, I want to take the little time that the Lord gives me now to share with you guys, and I thank him for my Savior. Because without him, you know, I know I'm nothing. And I know that all these vices, all these ailments, you know, though we have the scripture and we read the scriptures of Moses and we see what Job went through and we go through, we see how Peter failed and how he lacked, yet he seemed to be boastful and voiceful. God gives us all this evidence of how those that wait patiently upon the Lord, you know, eventually you are the Lord. So through his son, you know, I realized that there's so much that I can overcome and there's so much that I lack in my life, you know, when we compare ourselves, you know, and when we see his goodness. But the beautiful thing is, yes, we have Christ, we lean upon him, and it's his righteousness, you know, that we look to. So I really, really thank the Lord for my Savior. And I know, you know, we've read through scriptures and we've read through SOP, and we see how the Father and Son commune together, and they laid before this plan of salvation for all of us here in this room if we just accept that gift. And it was done because he loved us, you know. And we all get, you know, us that are parents and those of us that are fathers, you know, we get that little glimpse because God allows us to have a family. We are to go and we multiply, and you know, and some of us have a lot of kids. And we get that little glimpse of love and how every soul, every offspring, everything that we had created is precious to us. Whether they go astray, we desire that they come back. And before we were even created, God, who knows all things, you know the beginning from the end, put this plan in place for us if this was to take place. So I'm thanking God. I'm thanking my Savior for what he's done, for all that I have. And I pray that I know that I have that knowledge to where I can continue to lean upon him until the day he comes. So I praise God for that. I praise God for my church. I praise God for all the brothers and sisters here, you know. And, together we become stronger, okay? We sharpen one another. And through these testimonies, through these praises, you know, we get a glimpse of how Christ works, not just in our life, but in our brothers and sisters' life too, which we are to care for and love them as well. So God bless you all, and as I always say, keep the love of Christ in you. God bless.
Fabulous blessings, everybody. Can you guys hear me?
Sure.
Alright. So I wanted to praise the Lord because
I got my first job about 2 months ago. I needed a job to help pay for school, which I'm not even entirely sure what's going to be going on with that anymore. But I needed a job for school, and I was looking. I admit I wasn't looking as hard as I should have, but nonetheless, I was still looking as well. And I called one place, and it was Staples. I ended up getting an interview, and I was hoping that I would get a job there, but I didn't end up getting a job there. So I got upset. And meanwhile, time's winding down. My mother's getting mad at me. My father's getting mad at me because I don't have a job yet. And one day, just before I was getting ready to go for a run, I pulled out my phone, and I saw that I had a message. A voicemail. And I listened to the voicemail, and it was somebody calling me from another place. And he was calling me in that he liked what he saw, and, you know, he wanted to schedule an interview. And so that was a great booster before I went for my run. And so I went for my run, came back, and I called him up, and I got my interview. At the interview went really well. And basically, I ended up getting hired on the very spot. And I wanted to praise the Lord for that, you know, I was hired on the spot going for literally only the second job interview I've ever had in my entire life. And so I want to praise the Lord that now I have a job, you know, and He's blessing me with this job, helping me learn about myself. There are things I notice that I do at work. For example, I can be a very hard worker at work, but I may come home and be really lazy. No, it's not that you're a lazy person, you know. So it's blessing me to see things like that. It's like, hey, if I can work hard at work, why can't I work hard at home, or, you know, trying to spread the work of the Lord? And I'm not saying I'm being lazy, I'm spreading the work of the Lord. But it's just, you know, if you can work very hard in your job, you can work very hard in other places of your life. And so the Lord's been blessing me, helping me see areas where I need to work on, things that I need help with. A lot of trials that have been coming through my work, they do play worldly music over their sound system. And so I have to ask the Lord for strength to get through that and get over that, because that stuff can get annoying and get stuck in your head. But the Lord blessed me with listening to spiritual music, or even singing those songs, so that I can not have those songs stuck in my head. But yes, definitely praise the Lord for having a job. Praise the Lord that He's blessing me and that He's opening my eyes. And do believe that there are blessings coming from many areas, and I want to say for the tithe as well, that I do believe that there are blessings coming in from that as well. That, I'll pass the mic to Pastor Nicholas, because I have no idea where I was going to go next. So, God bless everybody.
Amen and amen. All right, I got a few here, a few more praises. I got Brother Stefan sent me a PM. It says, Sabbath blessings. Please share this short praise. And he says, praise the Lord for allowing me to live with a brother in Christ, away from unbelievers, and blessing me with a job where I can keep His Sabbath holy, or keep His holy Sabbath. Amen. How beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together, it says in the Scriptures. So amen to that. And then, let's see, I got one here from Sister Mindy, but it's actually for a person that she was sharing with. His name is Ron. I don't think he made it in today, or he was going to try to get in here today, from what I understand. And if he's, I don't see a Ron in here, so I'm going to read this. It says, hi, brothers and sisters. I'm writing today to give everyone who hears this some of my testimony. I am so blessed by our Lord. He has brought me out of the darkness and into the light. He has healed my body, mind, and soul. Ever since I was a young boy attending Catholic school, I was always taught about the Lord and who He was and what He wanted from me. As I got older, I realized that I should be somewhere the truth would be told, and it was a long journey. I was saved in April of 1976, and was baptized in the Baptist church in a small town in Philadelphia. At that time, I was enlightened by God and moved by His love for me. Moved by His love for me. And I thought everything was just right. And at the same time, it was not. In 1979, I was stricken with AML. I have no idea what that is. And he says, I was flown to a cancer hospital. Upon arrival, while in terrible pain, I laid on a bed in the ER for more than an hour, which, as you might imagine, felt like 5 hours. The doctors returned with the bad news. They said, your white count is way too low in your present condition, you have about a week to live. At that point, I was in disbelief, and I said, my Lord will fix me, and I will not die. Oh, okay. So that's, thank you, Matthias. AML is acute myelogenous leukemia. So anyway, he goes on to say that my family hearing the news all came running to the hospital to pray for me and wish me well. Unfortunately, no one was wearing a mask, so a day later my lungs collapsed, and I was taken to the ER for surgery where I had a lung biopsy performed only to find out I had contracted pneumonia. From then on, it was downhill. I can't really get into all the details. It would just take too long, so here's the short version. I spent 3 weeks in intensive care and a total of 9 weeks in the hospital. I was in really bad shape physically, but mentally, I was sure that God would save me. The doctors were not sure. But I stood my ground and kept pressing on, and my whole 88-pound body had gone through some really awful things. Wow. Going on, he says, with one lung glued together and the other not wanting to heal, I left the hospital with my wife. I could not walk alone without help or do much of anything alone. But here's the great news. I was never alone, praise God. He was with me all the way. I was home for my first night, and my lung collapsed again, so off we went to the hospital. They put me in a room and took a picture of the lung and said it was about 5% collapsed. We will have to take it out. I boldly said to the doctor, I will talk to my brother about this and let you know in the morning. He looked at me and said, is your brother a doctor? I said, no, my brother is Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ. The next morning, the doctor got a lesson in faith because my lung was completely full and I was released from the hospital. It took 3 years to get back to my original weight of 145 pounds. Every day I was a struggle, and I thanked the Lord for his love for me and putting his healing hand upon me. I took away a great understanding of what God wanted from me, and that it is to spread the word on what God can do for us if we believe and ask for his help. I guess Philippians 4 verse 6 says it best. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. And I say amen to that too. I mean, a lot of us go through these trials simply because the Lord wants us to go through them so we can share with others how he revealed himself to us during the trial. And so I honestly believe that Brother Ron here is doing exactly as the Lord would have him do, and this is why he was blessed with the healing that he was blessed with, because the Lord knew that he would do, you know, that he would glorify him. See, that's what a lot of people miss. They seem to think that God's going to heal them or answer their prayers. And that's all, you know, it's like the 10 lepers that were healed by Christ. All 10 of them were healed. But only one came back and said thank you and then glorified him. The other 9, who knows what happened to them. But the fact is, if you had a major blessing from the Lord and you don't let others know about it, it's going to be a while before you get your prayers answered, because he's waiting on you to do what he knows you can do, or he wouldn't have given you the trial. So amen and amen. And then Brother Bennett has a praise. He says, praise the Lord for he keeps blessing me when I am truly unworthy of his favors and grace. Amen. We're all undone, brother. He says, the Lord is pulling me out of the devil's pit and will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's what we're all praying for. We're all hoping for, that he keeps us coming out of this pit so that we can eventually glorify him and be part of that number that glorifies him before the entire universe. Amen. Praise you through the storms. Amen. It's just like Job, though he slay me, I will trust him. You know. So however the Lord decides to do it, we're okay with it. Okay, then I got 3 short praises. Well, they're kind of short. From Brother Craig, Sister Addie. And number one says, a few days ago, we had pulled over to the side of the road to get some veggies from the market. Addie got out to do this for us. As I was watching her, there was a man standing next to her who just bought some cigarettes. He then got some matches to light up a cigarette, but I started to pray that he would not be allowed to smoke around Addie. The man tried and tried and tried to light his match up to smoke. He kept trying to get more matches and still could not light the cigarette. It is, I have to chuckle because this is neat the way the Lord does this sometimes. And then Craig says, it is amazing how God works. It's just such wonderful way, in such wonderful ways. And answers our prayers in a second of time. It was amazing to watch. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. And I'm sure many of you have seen the Lord answer prayer instantly sometimes. All right, this next one has to do with kittens. And he says, our family loves animals, and so we were searching everywhere for some kittens, but no one had any really to give. And one day we were driving down the road and saw something in the road which looked like a pile of leaves bundled up. As we drove by it, I looked again and saw that it was not a pile of leaves at all on the road. It was a pile of newborn kittens of four little kittens trying to keep warm. But so I put on the brakes and ran back there to gather them into my arms and put them into the truck. We then took them to our farm and had them cleaned up. We now have a family of kittens, two dogs, and our third baby is due to arrive in December. Amen. Praise God for all the blessings and for His loving church who have been praying for us and doing all they can to help us build our home. Thank you. Thank you, Elohim. And this is, of course, for those that are new, this is Brother Craig. He's Pastor Craig, actually. He pastors quite a large church in the Philippines. So, amen. And he is originally from America, but Addie, and they met on here just like Kevin and Nicole and others, you know, like Ryan and Novi. They met on here, too. And Novi is actually Addie's sister. Okay, and the last one here, he just sent me this one this morning. He says, my nephew's cat came home after 2 days missing and the prayer, and we were all praying. We prayed about this, I think, a couple days ago or something. Or he sent me an email about it. And he says, thanks for the prayers, bro. When the cat came home, my nephew screamed out, thank you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that was pretty neat. The little nephew gave God the glory. And this is one of the reasons I believe. And this is one of the reasons I believe that I see so many things in my life, and because the Lord knows, I'll tell you all about it. And so this is why we have the blessings some of us do, and some of us have some really, really difficult trials we're going through right now, and the Lord's going to get you through it. You're going to be healed, or you're going to be blessed, or you're going to get a job, or whatever the case may be, because He knows that you are one to tell others about what He has done for you. And even though you don't feel like you have that ability now, you will eventually, it'll eventually click. It'll eventually come to you that you have to share it. Even if it's just one-on-one, or even if you just write a track and hand it out. You can write your testimony on a track and hand it out to people and tell people how the Lord blessed you. I mean, look at Legion, or the guy that was called Legion. If it wasn't for his testimony, when Jesus came back to that region, you remember beforehand when the guy that was possessed by all those demons, 2,000 of them, right? Isn't that what a legion is? 2,000 soldiers? So there's 2,000 demons in this guy. And they were cast out, and of course they went into the pigs. Now I think that's the Gideon. The Gideon band is 300. I think a legion is 3,000. Yeah, okay, it's 2 or 3,000. Thanks, John. Or even 6,000. I just know it's thousands, okay? But it's somewhere. I keep forgetting the little trivial things like that. But the thing is, they, of course, went into the pigs. And everybody in that region asked Jesus and the apostles to leave because the pigs were, of course, their financial mainstay and stuff in certain areas. And now here's what a lot of people don't realize. The Jews owned the pigs. But it was against their faith, according to Deuteronomy 14 or Leviticus 11. You don't mess with pigs. You don't touch them or whatever like that. You don't eat them or anything. But they made money doing it. And now, look at the way the SDAs do it. Look at some of the investments, which you shouldn't be doing to begin with. They're gambling in the stock market with tithings, and some of the things that they're purchasing are just sinful, like liquor and pork and stuff like that. And so the Jews were more or less doing the same thing back then. And so, you know, the guy that was called Legion, or actually when Jesus asked him what his name is, he says Legion because we are many. Well, the demons were speaking. Jesus cast him out. The pigs, of course, drown, and all the people tell him to leave. And then Jesus, or Legion wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to leave with him. And Jesus told him, no. Go into the city and tell everybody what I have done for you. And that's what he did. And then when Jesus came back, there were a whole mess of people that came out to see Jesus because of that one man's testimony. So again, if you're going through a major trial right now, let the Lord know that you're going to tell people what he did for you. And if you've already told them in the past that you would glorify him and would tell people about what he did for you, and then you didn't, and don't be upset if you get sick again, you know, because you didn't do what you promised. But if you do share and glorify him, he's going to, you know, bless you again and again and again. You're going to get more and more blessings. And it's not always going to be difficult trials, because I've seen many things in my life. Yeah, I got a lot of trials, a lot of them. We all do. But every now and then you get these nice little hugs and stuff that he knows you're going to tell people about. And thank you, Brother Stephen. A legion is up to 5,400 soldiers, according to the encyclopedia. There'd be a lot. There'd be a lot. So, but yeah, I was thinking 2,000. So, I don't know. It could, depending, well, maybe the biblical version is 2,000, and maybe today modern encyclopedias say 5,400. So, but it could be up to. But, I'm pretty sure that, well, we'd have to look it up, like the Strong's Concordance as to what the word legion meant, you know. So amen to that. And I think that's it for my PMs here. Has anybody else got something they'd like to share? Right about now is, actually a half an hour ago is about the time the sermon's usually over. Because I like to keep the sermons anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes. And so if anybody has anything else to share, please do so. Or if you would like me to read your testimony, PM me about it. Or if you want me to send you, like if you can't PM, private message actually is what a PM means. Let me know in the chat room, and like now, because later there'll be so many PMs popping up if that happens. I wouldn't. Okay, Henrietta. All right, hold on. Let me scroll down to your name and send you a PM, and then you just. There, now fill it in there, sister. All right. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, yeah, how many of us, amen, Matthias, we all go through that. I mean, all 10 of my siblings and both my parents and a lot of my nieces and nephews, not all of my nieces and nephews feel this way because they know what they're looking at sometimes. They all think I'm a nut because I keep the seventh day. Sabbath, you know, and then they originally thought I was a nut for the first 10 years. Before I started keeping Sabbath, because I was exposing the Catholic Church as the home of Antichrist, so they thought I was a nut then too. So what difference does it make? They're going to think you're a nut no matter what. So do whatever the Lord would have you do. Okay, here, hold on. I just got the PM from Henrietta, Sister Henrietta. Okay, it says, praise the Lord for the chance to witness in Turkey. We would like to thank the Lord for... All right, well, hold on a second. Are you done? Because let me know when you're done, because if you keep sending me statements, it's going to keep jumping up and I can't read it. All right. Okay, it says amen at the bottom. Okay. All right, so we would like to thank God for him leading us in presence and missionary work. One of the brethren, very young, 19 years old, is doing now the missionary work in Turkey. He works among SDA Christians and Muslims. He says that even the SDA leaflets have Allah on it, mentioned everywhere. Well, that's no surprise. They went hand in hand with the Vatican in declaring that Allah is the Christian God. So, you know. And now they passed law. I think it was in Malaysia, in Syria, where the government of those nations actually stated point blank that God does not want you to. They say Allah does not want you Christians to use his name. And they say they considered it illegal for a Christian to use it. So even the people that embrace Allah, the false god, you know, it's just a statue actually in that Dome of the Rock. Most people don't even know. It's all hidden behind a locked door. But Okay. Yeah, thanks. Okay, I got. Thank you, everybody. I got the PM. Chase is. I'll be PMing Chase in a moment. So, but anyway, so he works among these people. And he says the SDAs are even doing it. And he says he keeps explaining to them that it is our Lord Jesus Christ that's saving us, and we would need to pray to Him, not to Allah. And he continues saying that to them. And so, how can I say thank you, Allah? Jesus will cry today above His church, same like in times when He was crying about Jerusalem. Yeah, amen to that, sister. Amen. Because it's, yeah. He says, like, when he was in tears and saying that how he would gather them like a hen gathers her chicks, and they just didn't want to do it. It is same like when I would say, thank you, merciful Baal or Nimrod. Yes, exactly. Yeah, good point. And Christians just can't do that. But the Catholic Church is insisting they do, because the Catholic Church worships another Jesus, just like the prophecy says. And so, yeah. And then she says, please pray also for this brother and all that we do in the missionary work. It is our privilege. Amen. Yeah, we'll definitely keep that in prayer. Send me an email, and I'll add it to my private prayer list. Okay, let me get, okay. We are many. 3 to 5,000 men. Thanks, Ace. Okay. So 3 to 5,000 men for a legion. All right. Thank you. You're very welcome, Henrietta. Okay, let me get Brother Chase here. I'll send you a PM here. So, okay. Send you a question mark. That gets the PM open. It's fine. You know. So just send me what you got. And if you want to send me one, try to put it in Notepad and write it all out rather than, you know, type it, because then you got to wait if you're a slow typer. Yeah, thanks, Trey. Yeah, Mark chapter 5 talks about legion. Yeah. And yeah, okay, thank you. So we got anything from 2 to 5,000 or 2 to 6,000. So it's thousands. We know that. It's not just one demon. Let's just put it that way. This was a lot. And so that guy had to have a real rough time. You know, he did this thing I saw. Who did this? I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to picture his face in my mind. Oh, yeah. It was that guy that just came out recently as a homosexual. What was his name? He's got white hair on CNN. I think he's on CNN or Fox. Anyway, he wore a headset all day. Yeah, Cooper. Thanks. Anderson Cooper. Yeah. He wore a headset all day long where it had these voices whispering to him, and he was trying to illustrate what it's like to be schizophrenic. And you see, this is how ridiculous today's world is. They don't have common sense. They just don't have it. And what I mean by that is they say it's schizophrenia or it's this or it's that or whatever. It's demon possession. That's all it is. If you're hearing voices, you need a demon cast out. I mean, in biblical times, that's what it would be called. Just plain, downright demon possession, you know. Yeah, plenty of books. Yeah, forever coming to the knowledge, forever learning but never coming to the knowledge, right, Andre? More or less, that's what the Bible says. They got plenty of book sense but no common sense. You know, Alex has a praise. He goes, praise the Lord for the growing habit of always carrying tracts with me wherever I go out somewhere, and most of the time I do get them out. Amen. Say here, I like everything I own. Every vehicle that's got wheels has got tracts in it. You know, and then even in my pocket, if I'm in a store, I usually carry some in my back pocket that I'll, you know, hand out, or I'll stick in clothing or whatever. But I always have a little tiny, because ever since I was knee high to a grasshopper, I was in sales. And so I always had business cards. And you know, those little business card wallets, they're very tiny. They're about half the size of a regular wallet and about a third in thickness. And I can usually fit, if I really jam them in tight, I can get about 30 to 40 cards inside my little wallet that I stick in my back pocket, so that no matter where I'm at, you know, and just hand them out to people. So anyway, Chase says this. He goes, there were several thieves that came at my dad's business and stole several things. They hooked to my trailer and drove several yards away with it, but by the grace of God, they decided they didn't want to steal my trailer. Praise the Lord. It was not an expensive trailer, but it would have financially hurt had they stole it. Amen. Yeah, because it's not like the cops are going to go, okay, we messed up. We didn't do our job. Your stuff was stolen, and so here's a couple of $1,000. Get yourself a new trailer. You know, that just doesn't happen in today's world. You know, but I don't see. I don't know how most people don't have insurance on trailers. You know, so amen and amen. Okay. All right. I think that's it for the PMs. Yeah. I had something here around here somewhere, I guess. I don't know where it's at right now. But, okay, Molly is sending one. Okay. All right, so we got one more on hold here that's going to be coming through, another private message. Yeah, exactly, Jennifer. Exactly. You know, it's, they don't call it. Yeah, they have to have modern names. That way the psychiatrists can make their money, too. You know, they'll just suppress the person with, like, Prozac or something. And they think it cuts down on the demons, which it probably does because Satan goes, okay, we got that one. That one's on drugs. Okay, let's go to the next one. But the minute that person gets off drugs, you know, let's start talking through their ears again, you know, making them get all scary. But these things, stuff like bipolar, totally made up, absolutely unequivocally made up. It's just pulled out of the thin air, just like all these so-called diagnoses that they have in regards to psychiatry. Bipolar says, yeah, 1 minute you're angry, the next minute you're sad, or no, 1 minute you're angry, the next minute you're happy, kind of a thing, or like someone dies and you're grieving. Oh, you're in a state of depression, so they give you drugs. Hey, it's normal to grieve. You know, but they jump on it, and they make billions and billions of dollars, just like the prophecy said. They're using sorceries. A lot of people miss this. This is why, this is what scares me about the Christian church today. They think they know their Bibles, and they don't know half of their Bible. I don't care if the guy's a theologian with an alphabet soup after his name. He don't know half his Bible. Because right there in the Bible, it says that the beast in Rome is going to deceive the nations with their sorceries. And just recently, about a year ago, and I've been preaching this for decades, but I could never, ever find any rock-hard, modern scientific, documentation that proves that the Roman Catholic Church is involved in the pharmaceutical industry. Couldn't do it until about a year ago when they got busted in Canada. With Canada, the Vatican and somebody else in Canada, some other corporation in Canada, were caught doing some strange thing, which proved that the Vatican was involved in Big Pharma, which is you know the giant pharmacy thing. So they've been involved for it all along. And I praise God that I finally have documentation now to prove, because this is all your, it's just your opinion. Now it's what the Lord reveals. It's obvious. I mean, it's either that or, I mean, I can say stuff like that without having the proof for one reason. It's in Scripture. And I believe it. He said it. I believe it. That settles it, kind of a thing. And so if he said it, then it's got to be true. And then finally we've got some documentation to back it up, to show people that, they're involved in it. And the word sorcery in English, thanks, Scott. It's, you look it up. The word sorcery is in Strong's Concordance number 5332. And it means, the actual Greek word is pharmakia, which is where we get our modern word pharmacy. I mean, it's that easy sometimes to see this stuff in Scripture. But the overwhelming 99.9% of the pastors and teachers and preachers out there simply don't teach it. Okay, I just noticed I scrolled up and Brother Ray has his hand up, so I'm going to turn my mic off.
Okay, and we have a short one here. Nevertheless, Molly is declaring God's goodness here. She just wants to say that that she does have a praise, and it's a private praise, and she says that God answered her prayer request. So she's giving thanks, and you know, and we thank you, sister, for letting us know that God's working in your life as well. You know, so praise the Lord for that. All right. Looks like that might be the last praise here. I don't know if somebody else. I'm looking now. I don't see anybody else has any hands up. But that's gonna be it. All right. So praise God for all the praises and testimony services. You know, God is truly, truly good. All right. And thank you, Sister Molly. God bless.
Okay, so if no one else has a praise or anything, that's this was a good service again, just like every 3 months that we do this, and I praise the Lord for this. Next week is questions and answers. I have plenty that you have emailed, but if you have any questions and answers that you would like asked or answered in next week's gathering, let me know. Send me off an email through the remnantgod.org website. Just go to the Contact Us page and, you know, send an email through there, and I will, if it's a question that can be answered rather quickly, you know, it'll go in right away, but if I have to do some study on it, it might not make it into next week's gathering, because I've got a bunch ahead of you, and, but still, don't stop from sending it, because topical study is my, it's my bread and butter, I guess you could say. It's the favorite. I mean, this is how I learned Scripture. When I was a young Christian, I would go into the Christian Bible with a question and find the answer. That's how I did it. And then when I ran out of questions, I went on the street and I would, you know, start sharing my faith, and people would ask questions. Oh, that's a good one. Let me write that one down. I'll get back. You know, and I would do that. And, oh, man, it got to where I had 82, I think it was, 82 questions that were asked of me or even screamed at me. On the streets back then, none of those questions were my own personal ones, of course. Those are the ones that they came up with. And then I just made a list and, you know, used it on the street. And that was that thing that I was going back into the van to get when that young man asked me to answer his question in regards to Jesus Christ having siblings. And so I says, well, let me go check my notes. And I was going to go into the van, and then he says, I don't want any of your anti-Catholic propaganda. That was that FAQ list that I had. I carried it with me everywhere, and I always had two or three empty pieces of paper with it in case someone asked me a new question. And I would try to do the study right there if I could, if they had time. Otherwise, it's okay, I'll get back to you. And I would get their phone number. And so this went on for a while, and then I just put it on the website. That is the only page on my website where I give Bible verses, but I don't show the Bible verse itself. Because back then I carried the Bible with me everywhere I went. And so when I had to give them the answer, I would open up the Bible and show it to them and point right to it. Well, today we have the internet, so I could just paste the Bible verse right in there. But I saw Angela's hand go up there a moment ago. Did you have a praise, Sister Angela, or were you just seeing if the thing worked? All right, so no, okay, so I don't know. If anybody else has a hand up, they've got to scroll up and down. This is the thing I don't like about this software, and I'm hoping and praying that they start making some money again so they can go back to doing upgrades. Because I asked them, one of the features I want is when somebody puts their hand up, I want them to jump to the top of the list, because this up and down scrolling thing is just not right. Okay, they're okay. There's Sister Angela. All right, let me turn off my mic. Okay, doesn't seem... Oh, maybe it's going to work now. Doesn't seem like she hit. Noise coming. Okay, here we go. Oh, it was working there for a minute. Okay, here we go.
Can you hear me? My first time on the mic. Bear with me. I would like to praise the Lord's name. A couple of Sabbaths ago, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart sign and stand on the corner. And I said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And I went to the corner, and there was a man standing there. I guess a homeless man trying to make money. It was the corner the Lord wanted me to go to. So I parked the car at a filling station, and I waited on the Holy Spirit to tell me if it was okay. So I got out of my car and I stood on the corner across from the man. I held the sign up high for everyone to see it. And the man saw me and he started yelling, get off the corner. I'm trying to make money here. Go down the street. I didn't leave. I continued to hold the sign. So people, they waved and blew their horns, acknowledging the Lord. Then the man crossed the street. And he came over to me. He said, it's good that you're doing work for the Lord. Can you take it down the street? I'm trying to make money here. I didn't say anything to him. Just continued to hold the sign. And he walked away for a moment. And then he came back. And he was very angry. And he said, ma'am, you don't go away from this corner. He said, I'll take that sign away from you, and I'll rip it up. And then he threw his wine all over the sign, and it splashed up into my face. And I began to cry. And I said, Lord, the sign is dripping with a stench. I won't leave. I won't put the sign down unless he physically come over and grab it. And the Holy Spirit put on my heart, what are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to do? Satan is all in your face. And I said, oh yes, I remember, Lord. But I'll say it next time if he comes. I'll say it. And so the man came back. And he said, lady, are you going to leave this corner? Said, I could stand here all day. Holy Spirit said, do you remember what to say? Get thee hence in the name of Jesus. Get thee hence, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Beelzebub, Beelzebub, get thee hence in the name of Jesus. And the man said, oh, the Lord. He said, lady, I'm going to leave you alone. And he walked away. And I stood on that corner almost 2 hours with this sign. In me.
good to see the Lord's hand move when you ask Him to. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll end in prayer. And then, oh no, wait, we got a song. Brother Eli, do you have some music that we can close with? Please do so. We'll end with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us the way you have. Thank you for all these praises that were shared today on Testimony Sabbath. And thank you for the way that you continue to do these wonderful things throughout our lives. And none of these are years old. These things are praised on a regular basis. You're still moving your hand in our lives. I can remember being in churches years ago where people would stand up and give praise, and it was something that happened 10 years ago. Because nothing happened in their life recently because they stopped walking with you. So thank you, Father, for continuing to be by our side and blessing our faith. And thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit and the salvation brought forth by your Son. Please bless all those that are in attendance here. Continue to bless them with additional opportunities to praise you. And please bless all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.